Welcome to Entanglement Radio, transcendent talk for the conscious mind. Join us for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science, new thought, and conscious healing. Explore the potential and infinite possibilities of what it means to be human with some of the best guests in radio. At Entanglement Radio, it is all connected. Now, here is your host, Angela Levesque, on the OM Times Radio Network.
With Angela Levesque right here on the OM Times Radio Network. I'm coming to you live today from the beautiful foothills of the Rocky Mountains here in Boise, Idaho. I have a fantastic reoccurring co-host on today. We have Suzanne Michelle, and we're going to be talking about one of my favorite subjects, archetypes. It's really one of those things that just helps me move through challenges and just step back and see things from a more objective perspective. And I think it's very helpful. So we'll get to that in just a moment. Next week, we have Catherine Allen, and we are going to be talking about creating power places. So she is an interior designer. She's studied feng shui, and she talks all about how to set up our living environments and work environments to raise our inner vibration. So that is next week. I have some big stuff coming up in my life, some big changes, some shakeups that actually working with archetypes helped me come to. So if you want to stay in touch with that, you can find me on Facebook and on Twitter at Hestia Health and Entanglement Radio. You can join my newsletter. And just any general information, and you want to contact me, you can email me at angela@hestiahealth.com. Yes, if you want to stay apprised to what is going on. Yes, so I am really excited to have Suzanne Michelle on the program again. She's been coaching clients all over the world, facilitating their access to more depth and understanding of the soul, mind, and body connection. She is an intuition coach, and her clients benefit from her unique blend of electronics education, healing touch, and intuitive insight. Suzanne continues to thrive in her growing practice, creating an experience of grounded, energetic, therapeutic massage and coaching. So I'm very honored and blessed to welcome my reoccurring guest co-host on, Suzanne Michelle. How you doing, Suzanne?
Good. Good morning, everyone. And hello, Angela.
Hello. You just have the nicest voice. I just love it. People don't appreciate it, right? Because sometimes, I mean, I know you and we're friends in person, but it's just, I really appreciate a good voice. So,
aw, thank you.
Isn't that an awful story at the top of the hour? It's always so alarming to me. Before I have people come on, we do our conscious breathing, and then we listen to the news at the top of the hour, and I just, it's just such a juxtaposition for me, just this beautiful, peaceful place to, oh, wow, some of the worst aspects of our culture and humanity, frankly.
Yeah, they're actually acting out the archetypes, that collective conscious patterning. They're acting it out, you know, in dramatic form.
You know, that's funny because I was thinking about that exact thing when I was listening to that. And they're like, oh, she may have mental health issues. Well, yeah, that's an understatement. So let's talk about archetypes. I know lots of my listeners probably know exactly what we're talking about, especially if they've ever followed or done some reading with Caroline Mace and Sacred Contracts, because she talks a lot about archetypes. But I like to, and also Carl Jung kind of brought archetypes to our culture in the forefront of our collective consciousness, I guess. But I even like to take it a little bit further, because if anyone's ever studied, oh, there you go, there's Izzy. If anyone's ever studied philosophy and they've looked at Plato, and Plato had this idea of the theory of forms. And what he was saying is that there's these ideal prototypes out there.
I'm going to go shut her down.
That's okay.
Be right back.
No problem. And so what Plato was saying is that we have these, he came up with this idea of the theory of forms, and that there are these ideal prototypes out there that are like the essence of things, and everything else is just this representation. So we have the ideal essence of a chair, and then we have varying varieties of the representation of that chair. And really, it's there. He believed that there was this perfect blueprint out there for all people, for all ideas, for all objects. And I just thought, wow, that is such a an interesting idea, because when I think about healing and I think about our own divine blueprints and being able to connect ourselves back to those beautiful pieces of perfection, that to me is just so fantastic. So when we look at this theory of forms and we talk about archetypes, archetypes are essentially that. They are these patterns of behavior that can be both perfect, the shadow, and the light, and imperfect, which is slightly different than what Plato was saying. But I like these ideas that we can take these kind of units of information and that are eternal, that have been part of our psyche forever. And I think that that really helps us understand when we can pick out those units of information and behavior and idea within our lives. I think it really helps us understand some of our challenges, some of the way, you know, understanding why we behave the way we do. So how, from your perspective, Suzanne, how do you describe what an archetype is?
So I like to use examples rather than definitions. Mm-hmm. Like when I say the class clown or the damsel in distress or the jokester, the victim, we conjure up ideas, patterns of behavior, kind of attitudes that exemplify those characteristics that we would call, those personalities that we would call archetypes. So it's really kind of a universal pattern of human behavior or human nature. So everybody kind of can relate when that idea, that universal pattern personality comes to mind when we say those archetypes.
Yes, especially the victim. And I think that people can really understand. So yes, when I'm explaining this to people, I'll say, you know, like the hero or the victim, or yes, the princess who's waiting for the white and shining armor to ride up to her tower and save her from all of her challenges. And I think that helps us understand. And I think even in that, having those, because we're not, we like to speak of things linear. And so that's why I appreciate you said, you know, I like to give examples versus definitions, because I think definitions are probably more of a linear representation. And we get that image. We know, and that's why I think archetypes are so powerful, because they are more than just words. Last week I had Don Miguel Ruiz on, and he talked a lot about words as symbols and that we've just kind of agreed upon. And I think when we start talking about the hero or the victim, it's more, it conjures up more within ourselves than just a definition of what a hero is or a definition of a victim. It's auditory. We can see it, we can feel it, we know it, because, and I think that's in part too, because it's been part of us, part of all of our history. These are eternal ideas. And I think that is part of their power.
Yeah, absolutely. That symbolic imagery is so powerful. I was working with a client and we were talking about archetypes, and I said, wow, you are such an amazing, you exemplify the amazing qualities of the queen. And she knows a little bit about archetypes. And she gave me this kind of like sourpuss face, and she kind of like, you know, she squished her nose and she's like, ew, I don't want to be a queen. And I was like, ooh, we're on to something. Okay, because she doesn't want to be who she is, because she had this symbolic imagery of a queen being like this high ruler on a hill, you know, basically being a tyrant, telling everybody what to do. And she didn't, because she knew that that's kind of when she's not in her most magnificent qualities, she goes into that form. And so she had this experience of feeling her own shadow of the queen, which kind of gave her a sense of repulsion against who she really is, or one aspect of who she is. And I find that fascinating, that symbolic imagery can conjure up all these ideas just based on saying, you know, the warrior or the bully or the addict or the seeker. You know, there's light and shadow aspects of those archetypes.
And I love that example because right there, you know, as soon as, because I really identify with the queen myself personally. And so as you're saying queen, I'm like, yes, right on. I love the queen, you know, but for her right there, that's a piece of information for her is that, oh, not the queen, you know, and I just, and I think that that's why, because sometimes we're, when we're so in our stuff, whether we're facing a really big challenge or, you know, we're just really busy and we're not paying attention, that we can use these units of information, these patterns and symbols as a way to pull ourselves out and to look at it. And so you don't have to look at the queen negative or positive because it is just what it is. But when you start to put your own interpretation on it, like in her case where she was like, oh, I don't want to be the queen, then that gives you information into yourself. And there's, you know, these are kind of subconscious, unconscious patternings. And so right there, then you get to go, aha, there's something underneath that. And that is a good, fantastic way for you to be able to connect to that, some of that stuff that's buried deep that you might not have access to otherwise.
Right, right. Because the shadow, it's basically the part of ourselves that is unconscious. So the shadow becomes kind of hostile when it's ignored or misunderstood. So when I said that to her, when I said, oh, wow, gosh, you're just like this magnificent queen. And she conjured up her experiences from her past where she was misunderstood and ignored for those very light qualities that are part of her. So she was immediately attaching to the shadow aspect and like, ooh, I don't want to be that. And so that shadow, it's really fed by our relationship to power or powerlessness.
Yes. Well, I want to explore more a little of the shadow and the light and then talk about how we can recognize them when they show up. I have a very personal story I'd like to share to kind of be an example for how I could move through a challenge. So we'll talk about that more with Suzanne Michelle when we return on Entangement Radio. We'll be right back.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Want to be a better communicator? Do you want to better connect with the important people in your life? Do you want to enrich your relationships? If so, join me, Matthew Cooper, on the Positive Control System show every Wednesday evening at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on OM Times Radio. I'll meet you there.
Join Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, each Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern for the Elliot Jolish Hour, as he interviews business experts on your behalf. And you're invited to email your business questions to questions@ecjgroup.com for answers, live, on air, every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Elliot Jolish Hour. As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
All right, we're back. And if you're just joining us, I have my special guest co-host on again, Suzanne Michelle, and we are talking all about archetypes, which I just think are fascinating. They're a wonderful tool. So, Suzanne, you know, before the break, we were using that example of the queen. And How many archetypes do you think? Do you think we move from like, okay, we moved from the victim into the queen, or do you think that we have a multitude that are expressed in our daily lives on a regular basis?
Oh, definitely a multitude. And in Carolyn Mace's work, Sacred Contracts, it's a phenomenal book if you're interested in archetypes. She talks about the four survival archetypes that we all have that are universal to every single person. And then we have eight unique archetypes. So a total of 12 that we kind of flow through that make up our personality, how we relate in the world.
So to give our listeners, she believes we have four basic survival archetypes, which are the victim, the child, the prostitute, and the saboteur. And, you know, you might hear something like the prostitute and think that that must all be shadow. And I actually love the prostitute. And it doesn't mean ladies of the night, but it has to do with compromising your integrity. But even within the prostitute, there is, in and of itself, it's not necessarily negative, but there are also light aspects about that as well. How do you feel about the prostitute?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm right there with you, because it's negotiating your integrity at any given point in time. Any decision that you're making in a relationship, in a new job prospect, taking on a new client, where is my integrity? And checking in with myself, am I doing this for the money? Or am I doing this to express my soul? Am I selling my soul in a good way? Or am I selling my soul in a not so good way? So if I'm selling my soul, that means I am doing the work that I was born to do. And yeah, I place value on it, and there is a money exchange. But am I going to sell my soul to be in a relationship that is abusive? Well, I don't want to sell my soul for, you know, the fake or elusive security of maybe somebody, you know, putting a roof over my head.
And then once, you know, if you have, because there has definitely been times as you're talking about that, when I first started out doing the work, the healing work and stuff, there were so many gigs I did for free. So many. And I always just kind of thought, oh, I'm just paying my dues and this is what you have to do and da, 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 da. And then one day I start asking myself, why don't I ever get paid for the work I do? And then, you know, you start to recognize, you're like, ah, here's the thing. If I'm always devaluing what I have to offer and I'm not stepping into my integrity and saying, no, this is what I'm worth and I believe in an equal and abundant exchange, then, you know, things started to shift. But it took a long time for me to hang out with that prostitute archetype. And now she serves me as a reminder that, and it's not that I never get caught up, but I can see that so clearly when that shows up, when my integrity is being compromised and when I'm selling myself short and there isn't this equal and abundant exchange of energy. And that to me now is the more lighter aspects of that I embrace that shadow part and I realized, oh, wow. And then you start to see that pattern, and which I think is so beautiful because, like I said before the break, this allows us access into some of the stuff that's in our unconscious, and it just shows itself to us. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, the prostitute now for me, she's like my companion because now she's like, you, this is what you're worth. And if other people don't see that, that's okay. You don't need to feel like you're paying your dues. Did you ever find yourself in that place?
Oh, gosh, so many times. So many times. And when you're in that place unconsciously, you feel a sense of powerlessness. But then now that I understand what the prostitute represents and how, you know, it's just an archetype that's within me to navigate negotiate my integrity in the world. And so now it's empowering. It's like the prostitute feels very empowering. And what's interesting about these survival archetypes, the saboteur, the victim, the prostitute, and the child that we all have, when we first hear those, we kind of cringe and we go, oh, they sound kind of negative. But when we can really understand them and embrace what they have to share with us, they are so empowering.
And that, you know, going back to, I was talking about Plato in the beginning, and he believed that these forms, which he didn't call archetypes, but with that essentially what they are these blueprints for perfection. So as we can see them and not look, you know, think of the victim as just the victim, because, you know, the victim does definitely the shadow side, being taken advantage of, always feeling like, poor me, why is this happening? But on the flip side of that, the beauty, the essence of the victim is being able to recognize that and to realize, again, the victim from its shadow side is that sense of powerlessness. But when you step up and you can recognize that pattern, there is just, that is your seat of power. And you see, you can recognize when other people are being victims. You can recognize your tendency to go there and say, hey, no. Or you can recognize when people are trying to exert their power over you. Mm-hmm. And you get to say, ah, not again, not this time. And I think that this idea that these are our divine blueprints and not just negative, because even the saboteur, right, is another one that it sounds negative, but it's all we, how many times have we self-sabotaged? And then now we get to see not only when people are trying to sabotage us, but when we're doing it to ourselves. So I think that, but the interesting thing, and not to be to be judging people, but the interesting thing too is when you can start recognizing the archetypes that people are playing out in their own lives, in the people in your relationships. And so that helps from my standpoint in communication and really understanding, as long as you're not doing it like, oh, what a victim over there, but you just see, oh, wow, like that's part of their story and that's, you know, what they're identifying with at this time. And I think it really helps to open up that communication.
Yeah, it's interesting with the saboteur, because you think, what could possibly be good about this, right? And I notice this with health. This is a huge one where, especially when somebody is in the job that they're not supposed to be in, or a relationship that they are not supposed to be in, or some kind of family dynamic, that their body will express itself in a form of sickness. So their body, it's like there's a sabotage going on to get them the heck out of that situation. And so if we can recognize those patterns, our body is sabotaging or it's exhibiting sabotaging health issues that inhibit us from, you know, really being productive in the world, then we can look at that and go, wow, this saboteur is actually helping me. This health crisis is helping me to make a change in my life. Wow. Thank you, saboteur.
It's funny because I hadn't really thought of it in that way, but you absolutely, it'll sabotage so you can get out of that situation. And I like that.
Yeah. And then I want to add one more thing, is that we'll get to the point where we don't have to have those unconscious sabotaging things fester so that we have a health crisis or something destructive. We can actually consciously go, wow, I need to make a choice so that I don't get sick, or I need to make a choice so that my world doesn't fall apart.
Absolutely. And that's, like I said, they're a gateway. They're a beautiful gateway into the subconscious and or the unconscious. And then once you realize, then you recognize it faster and faster and faster. And it's not to say that saboteur doesn't show up, but all of a sudden you're like, okay, so for the past week, I've been going home and eating, you know, 4 scoops of ice cream every day after work. What's really going on? It's not about the ice cream, but the ice cream is helping me in some way. And you get to recognize it. Whereas before, it might have been years of pattern. It might have been years of the same thing, years. And now it's like, oh, once you recognize that, then you'll say, ah, you know, it might have only happened for a week or 2 weeks before you're just like catching yourself. And that's amazing. How do you help your clients recognize, how do we see that? For, you know, for some people who've done a lot of work with archetypes, it becomes really easy. But for somebody listening, and this is kind of a new concept, how would you suggest being able to pull those archetypes out?
Gosh, the biggest thing that's so underestimated is self-love. Because if we can fall in love with our saboteur and our victim and our prostitute and our child, when we fall in love with those aspects of ourselves that are normally pushed aside, and, you know, like the prostitute is only allowed to come out, you know, after midnight. And the child has to go to her room, and the victim, you know, needs to go and cry, and the saboteur needs to just go, whatever, you know, you can picture this. When we can come to a place of self-love and self-acceptance, that is when we can then open up that magnificent queen. When that queen finally stops beating herself up, because yeah, every once in a while she is just like, this is what needs to get done. And, you know, it looks like I'm being a tyrant, but I'm not, because these are my gifts. I know how to delegate and move things through a system, you know, in a way that's really productive and efficient. So once she can fall in love with those aspects of herself, then she can then become more in the light of that one particular archetype. So it all comes down to self-love. If we can open that up, what that means, because a lot of people, when they go self-love, you know, they've got all these ideas about what self-love is. Is that selfishness? Is that, you know, arrogance? Is that, you know, I don't have time for that. I've got three kids. What are you talking about, self-love? You know? So self-love is really the foundation and where the soil is to be tilled, so that we can plant these seeds of our true archetypal expression.
Well, yeah, anytime that we can integrate our darkness into ourselves and not see it as something that you know, we have to push aside or hide in the closet, or like you said, only show under the cover of night when that shows up. Anytime we can integrate that into our being, we really get to move through life in a much more wholehearted way. It's we show up better in every aspect in our marriage. And you're right, it starts, yes, you have three kids, but if you'll be a better mom, you'll be a better wife, you'll be a better partner, whatever the case. And if you're able to have those aspects of yourself, and you might not always be able to be happy and light and fantastic about things, but you definitely move more wholeheartedly. And that goes to the vulnerability and intimacy, the level of intimacy you're able to have when you're really intimate with yourself. So when we get back, I want to talk about archetypal journeys that we go on and recognizing the themes over a period of time. So we'll do that more here on Entangment Radio with my special guest co-host, Suzanne Michelle. We'll be right back.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on OM Times Radio. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffey and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Come on down. You're the next listener of the Joe Show's second annual salute to game shows, Price is Right Uncensored, a two-part series airing on Wednesday, March 9th and Wednesday, March the 16th. We will take you back all the way to September 4th, 1972, the first day Price is Right aired on CBS. The Joe Show speaks with longtime former producer Roger Dobkowitz, Million Dollar Spectacular announcer Randy West, and longtime former Price is Right legendary host Bob Barker. So mark down Wednesday, March 9th and Wednesday, March 16th, 9 p.m. Eastern, OM Times Radio on The Joe Show.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake. A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
All right, we are back, and you're listening to Entanglement Radio with Angela Levesque. Again, my guest co-host today is Suzanne Michel, and we are talking about archetypes, these little units of information that are spread through our psyche, and they are inherited collective patterns of behavior that have been, I think, that are eternal and timeless. You were on my show, I think, at the end of 2015, and we were talking about this year being 2016 being the year of the end of a nine-year cycle. And one of the ways that I like to help people think about their archetypes is to take a chunk of time. So for example, this nine-year cycle that we're finishing off this year, and look at the themes and the patterns and think about if your life, if this chunk of time was a piece of literature and you were the main character, to sit down and think about those themes and who were the supporting cast. And I think of the cast as like the messages and the messengers that we're trying to pull out of that. And that helps us recognize. And if we kind of view it as a piece of literature, that somebody was writing the story of your life and you were the main character, when we think of fairy tales, the princess, the queen, the old crone, the knight, those kinds of things, it becomes, I think, a little bit easier to pick out or pinpoint what those archetypes are. So I like to do that. And what do you think about that idea?
Oh, that's fascinating. I'm like, all of a sudden the hero's journey popped into my mind, you know, when you get called into an adventure and then, you know, the helpers show up and the villains show up and the, you know, the, all the fears, all, and then the, just the whole cycle of that hero's journey and getting to the point where you've transcended that initial challenge. And when I think about that, when you ask me that question, I have my own personal, but I'm thinking about, and I don't know if this is maybe a little bit, I'll just say it anyway.
Okay.
I'm thinking about right now in the United States of America, the archetype of the bully. And who is the one bully that is on every news station? Okay, right?
Yes.
So that's all I had to say. And so Donald Trump is showing us within ourselves where we bully, where we've been bullied, how we are in relationship to the archetype of the bully, where we hold power, where we feel powerless. I mean, it's amazing. So if you think about this year, just on our part of the universe, which is we happen to live in the United States of America, we are pretty much having in our face this huge archetype of being pushed around. Where is our power? Where are we feeling powerlessness?
Oh, wow. And my brain is just like spinning because I'm thinking, because you're right. We can see the archetypal journeys within ourselves. We can see them for our families, our country. And then, you know, as you're talking about Trump as the bully, which, I mean, he is the quintessential bully, is asking yourself if you are a Trump fan or not a Trump fan, which part of that bully is connecting with you. And maybe it's the victim. Maybe you've been a victim a long time and you see Trump as this like guy who can go in and exert power over, and maybe that's empowering. Or maybe the opposite. Maybe you have been the victim. And so when you see somebody going out there who just wants to trample over everyone, maybe that just is what's totally turning you off. Or maybe you connect with the bully inside of yourself. There's so many ways to explore this. But when you have that full pattern, and you get to look at, you know, because it's funny, because I think Trump is a nightmare. I do. But I haven't thought about exactly what is in it. Is it when he speaks that's so dissonant with myself? And I think part of that is the queen. And of course, we talked about the queen can rule as a tyrant, or she can be a fantastic leader who works with people, who empowers people. And so the queen fundamentally in me is saying, you are wrong, sir. You sit down and close your mouth. But, you know, maybe that's tyrannical in itself. But, you know, this is how you get to play with the archetypes. And I think that's just so fascinating. And when you look at the journey, even, you know, the United States and the way that we have chosen to act out our foreign policy and all of that, there's lots of ways where we're the bully as a collective as well. And and maybe that's why there's such a connection between a lot of Trump supporters and his message. I don't know. Wow, my brain is just like, whoa.
Yeah. Well, and that's why archetypes matter. That's why they matter, because we're able to recognize, you know, behaviors and patterns and attitudes and what triggers us and how we are triggered. Because when we can connect to the part of us that is triggered, we can then go, oh, interesting. Instead of, okay, in my opinion, Donald Trump is a narcissist. He consumes light. He consumes the air in the room. And he only does that when people allow their emotions to be manipulated by him. So my emotions are light. They're just energy. And if I give him my energy, if I give him my emotions, he's doing his job. He's doing the narcissist job, which is to consume light. And if I really get clear with myself on what triggers me, because I think he's a complete nut job. But when I get really clear with what that means, I mean, that's just my little humanness, you know, calling somebody a name, right? A nut job. Well, that means I'm triggered. Okay, what does a nut job mean to me? How is this reminding me of the days of Hitler? That was craziness. And how can we even go there with our emotions and even let somebody like that get on stage? And if we do, okay, that's great. We let them get on stage, but let's now expose him. Let's expose him. All this light, let's expose him. Let's expose how ridiculous these ideas are. And that's where he's actually doing his job as the bully. Now the bully is on stage. And now those of us that are intelligent and have voting power, we can then use what he's put himself on the stage for, so we can say that's not what we want. That's not what we want. We don't want a bully ruling our schools, B, our churches, B, C, our any institution, including governments. We don't want bullies doing that. That's not how people can be empowered. So the light aspect of this individual is that we get to take our power back.
Mm-hmm. That is one benefit of having somebody who's so polarizing, is that it asks you to really challenge within yourself, like you said, what's being triggered? What about what he's doing is not right to me? And what about what he's doing is, you know, challenging or triggering something within me that I need to look at, right? Because you're right, I want to call him a nut bar too. And that is a very human, coming from a very triggered place as well. And I think one of the things that when we come and we talk about these stereotypes, what is the difference between, or sorry, that was going to be my question, what is the difference between an archetype and a stereotype?
Ooh. So the way that I understand archetypes, because, and this is pretty esoteric, but when we incarnate, when we are not a human form yet, we're not a body yet, when we're coming through the layers of consciousness into this dense form of physicality, it's almost like as we're going through those veils, we're kind of magnetizing the archetypes that are a resonant match to what we want to express here on Earth. Okay. Whereas a stereotype is when we're here on Earth, and a stereotype is a misidentification. of something like a stereotype of a white middle-aged man walking down the street in a in a black neighborhood. The blacks might stereotype that white middle-aged man as something. Oh, whatever that they have conjured up in their mind. So it's different, or vice versa. White in a black. So there's this contrast. So I'm using the white and the black because it's a really good illustration of contrast and placing misidentifications onto those contrasts of ideas. Instead of an archetype is an actual pattern. It's an actual pattern of behavior. Whereas this white guy, this middle-aged white guy who's walking down the street is doing nothing. He's not exhibiting any patterns. There's nothing that he's doing. There's no behaviors. There's no attitudes. He's just simply walking down the street.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And you know, I wasn't in my mind, I wasn't thinking that they were there. But I think that you're correct because I've talked about this. And, you know, when I spoke about being able to recognize it in other people, there might be a fine line for some people between saying, hey, that person's a victim, and understanding the victim archetype. And I think that stereotypes are very limited ideas about things based on our previous experience. And I think archetypes, because they're timeless and they're eternal, they're not limited to our previous experience or our perception of our previous experience upon which then we impose on other people. And so I think that that's the difference. But when we talk about, you know, putting people like Trump as a bully, I think about, you know, I think that was an important distinction to make between talking about somebody and putting them into a, you know, a stereotypical box and then understanding them as a larger than life eternal concept. So I just, because I've had a couple of people ask me that before, what's the difference? So I thought we would explore that. Well, we only have 15 minutes left. When we get back, I kind of want to bring it on home and talk a little bit more about archetypal journeys and really why this matters. So we'll talk about that more when we return here with special guest co-host Suzanne Michelle on Entangled Radio. We'll be right back.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Hi, this is Angela Levesque, host of Entanglement Radio. Join me Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science and conscious healing. Entanglement Radio, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern. Transcendent talk for the conscious mind.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
All All right, we are back here in the last segment of Integument Radio. This segment is brought to you by Hestia Health. It's where we like to bring it on home. You can find out more about Hestia Health at hestiahealth.com, creating calm minds, open hearts, inspired lives. We kind of got off on a tangent on Trump. And, you know, that's the kicker, right, is that everybody talks about him because either they love him or they just find him so infuriating. And he does. He just takes up a lot of the public discourse. And it's anyway, so we're done with that. we had talked a bit about the hero's journey. And, of course, Joseph Campbell really brought that into our collective consciousness. But I wanted just to talk about, you know, when I do some work with the cancer survivorship population and we talk about being able to recognize archetypes and really that idea of, you know, who are some of the messengers? If you did take that, you know, maybe since you were diagnosed or maybe since you've had a child, whatever, you know, a chunk of time and really looked at the messages and the messengers. And then really, if you think about it as a piece of literature and say, you know, who is the hero in this story? Who is the villain? And maybe the villain's your own body or your own mind. And as you get to bring that, as I said at the very beginning of the show, that's kind of the gatekeepers to our unconscious. And so when we think about it that way, it helps us to identify those archetypes. Another thing that you can just do is go, Caroline Meese, or Mace, she on her website is just, it's a fantastic resource for archetypes. You can hear lectures she's done, but also she has a list of like 70 archetypes. And even just reading through some of those, you'll be able to recognize parts of yourself and say, oh yeah, like I know Suzanne, you and I both identify with the rebel. And the rebel, again, has some shadow and light aspects. I had something happened to me recently where I felt very challenged in my work life. And my rebel, oh my goodness, was just like, you want a piece of me? I'll take you on. This is it, you know, and was like totally out of control. But there's times where the rebel has really shown up and spoke about injustices and helped, you know, shed light on some of the systems that aren't working. So there's a lot of ways where the rebel has been very helpful to me. But in situations where I feel like I've been challenged, sometimes the rebel gets a bit out of control. And you also have a trickster. So do you have an example of your trickster tricking you?
Yeah. I mean, the trickster shows up and it appears as a key figure in my human drama. So say I'm in any situation where I'm going to make a change. So anytime I'm going to make a change, or if I'm on that brink of going to a level that expands my comfort zone, it seems like the trickster comes in. And the trickster, like in stories, if you think of a trickster in stories, they're usually playing a dubious character, right? Yeah. Or they're camouflaged as a good guy. Like, you're watching a movie and it's like, oh my God, I never thought that good guy would be such an a-hole, you know? Like this archetype of the trickster comes up for me a lot. And I'm very, the trickster for me is like my buddy, because I see the trickster as a sacred messenger. It's a great ally in presenting me with alternatives to my habitual responses. So like for example, if I am thinking about, oh gosh, I don't even have an example that comes up to my brain right now. But any choice point that I'm going to make, the trickster, it's almost like an event or a person or a situation that pops up to either to give me an alternative to what I'm considering. So, okay, how about this? Okay, I love relationships, and I work a lot with my clients with relationships, because just relationships, how we relate to people is how we do everything pretty much in the world. So say I'm going to consider getting into a relationship with somebody in a love relationship. How about love relationship? And I have this idea of what I think my lover should look like. Okay, let's just say that. And this person is beyond gorgeous. They're beyond, physicality. They look really good, right? So let's mm-hmm. just say they look really good. And then there's somebody that doesn't really look as good as them, but my heart is just like popping out of my chest. So the trickster could be the really good looking person who maybe in my ego, in my thought process, oh, this is how I'm going to get approval ratings. So the trickster can show up as this knight in shining armor, right? Mm-hmm. But yet they're maybe not so shiny. They might be dubious in nature. And so that's just one example of how the trickster operates in my life over and over and over again. Anytime I'm going to make a new, I'm challenged to make a new step. There's always this easy, okay, that's what, now I can touch it. Okay, it's like an easy out. The trickster gives you an easy out.
Yes, because you know, as soon as you said the trickster, do you know who I thought of? Rumpelstiltskin. And yes. He's all about creating those magical contracts. Oh, you want to get out of this? Here you go. All of the wishes that you want will all come true. Just sign on the dotted line. And of course, there's a whole bunch of text in there that is contrary to where you'd like to be. But it's just like, look at this bright, shiny thing I have to offer you. It's easier than doing the work.
Exactly. Exactly.
I also was thinking of the law of opposites that, you know, I'll make a decision in, say, my professional life that this is what I'm going to focus on. And then all of a sudden, all of these other things that I am not, didn't decide to focus on just start showing up. Here, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? I kind of like to think of the universe is like a Pandora station, like the algorithm of a Pandora station where you go and you you put in one thing that you like, and then the universe tries to guess, okay, you like this, you like this, you like this, and it gives you a bunch of things that it thinks that are kind of in alignment to that. And then you go and you start giving some thumbs up for songs, and the universe starts to fine-tune what it brings to you. But sometimes, you know, you're not paying attention, and you start to like things and opt for things that you really shouldn't be giving thumbs up to. So then the universe starts giving you more of that, more of that. So that's like the universe kind of being a trickster as well.
Oh, that's such a great example. I love that.
Well, let's see. Oh my goodness. This hour has just flown by. So I think I feel like, you know, just seeing those archetypes, it's just so fantastic. And even if you go and you read a whole bunch and really just let your heart lead you and see, you'll be able to identify with a lot of them. You'll be like, oh yes, the rebel or the gambler, and appreciating that there's shadow and light aspects to both. And neither is necessarily bad. It's just it's a way to learn more about yourself and discovery. So let's shift from that. So let's talk a little bit. What's going on in your world? What are you doing right now?
Oh my gosh. What am I doing right now? So I'm revamping my whole website and creating more of a, because I'm an intuition coach and I help people to bridge that gap, you know, between that, those mental decisions and those heart-based decisions, and bridge that gap so that, you know, you can actually make a decision that is both rational and heart-based, because both are important. So I'm revamping how I'm I know this sounds pretty vague, but showing up in the world. I mean, I love my one-on-one clients, and I also have products and other ideas, you know, I've shelved for many, many, many years. And that shelf, I'm rediscovering it and pulling that out and going, holy moly, I'm totally ready to bring this online. And I think the world is ready to use their intuitive navigational skills and put it online when you're voting, when you're picking out your food, when you're, you know, in relationship. It's so applicable, this intuitive guidance system, and it really needs to come online and not be pushed into the shadows of our psyche.
Absolutely. And your shelf, I think it's people are ready for it, and it's also very necessary. It is so necessary. And that's funny, too. In my world, there's been a lot of things that I've been actually now, I'm kind of the opposite. I'm deciding to put some things on my shelf and just like focus on a couple of things in my life instead of having so many other things. But I think it's important. I follow some people and I know, you know, for 10, 15 years, they've been kind of, they have the same thing that they talk, and I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to just stick with one thing and just do it. And so that's my next piece that I'm trying to not scatter my energy, just kind of focus it in and put some things on my shelf that I might revisit later.
Yeah. And as a visionary that you are, you know, you're creating a really big vision, and, you know, all of us are going to be able to witness that and be like, yay, she did it.
But it requires my full attention. So how do people, if they are wanting to get a hold of you, and how do people do that?
Yeah, the best way is revivewithenergy.com. And that's revive, R-E-V-I-V-E, with energy.com.
Well, this was a lovely conversation, and we didn't have any drop-offs today, which was fantastic. So, yeah, I just so enjoy having you on the program, and thank you so much for taking your time out of your day to join me today.
Thank you, Angela. It's so much fun to be with you and have these conversations. Thank you.
You are welcome. Well, coming up next week, we have Catherine Allen, and she is talking all about creating a power place. So she is an interior designer who studies feng shui, and she's going to talk all about how to change our living and work environments in our outer world to raise the vibration in our inner world. So that's coming up next week. If you need to get a hold of me at any time during the week, you can email me at angela@hestiahealth.com. You can find me on Facebook and on Twitter at Hestia Health and Entangment Radio. And you can hear my show live Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern on the Om Times Radio Network. This is Angela Levesque wishing you love and light. I'll see you next week.
Conscious media for conscious minds.